So we have a little bit of time for questions before I go on. Questions, maybe answers. We'll see. No guarantee. Yeah.
We talked a lot about anger for someone. Mm-hmm. What about anger for yourself?
Okay. Very good question. What about anger for ourselves? Yeah, everybody have anger at themselves sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah? Sometimes I think anger at ourselves is an actual worse problem than anger at others, although the two are related, you know, because when we're angry at ourselves comes from being very, very self-critical. The more expert we become at picking our own faults, the better we become at picking out other people's faults. And the more habituated we are with picking our faults, the more habituated we become at finding the faults of other people. Yeah. So those two things are very much related. Again, as I mentioned last night, you know, when we were talking, a lot of this self-talk that we have, such as I make everything go wrong, you know, I hate myself. Why? Because I botch up everything. I make everything go wrong. You know, so I hate myself for that. Well, that's a bit of an extreme statement. Yeah. And like I said, you know, saying I make everything go wrong is really a bit arrogant. It means we have great power. We are so powerful that without any other factors, we can make everything a mess. Yeah, that's really unrealistic, isn't it? So a lot of this, you're not saying yes. Yeah, it is unrealistic, isn't it? So, you know, when we get into this thing of self-hatred and self-criticism, the whole thing is just a huge exaggeration. Yeah, we are not that powerful. We cannot make everything go wrong. Yeah, the whole thing didn't fall apart just because of me. Now, what does the Buddha teach? You know, they often say if the Buddha had one slogan, it would be dependent arising, which means that things arise dependent on other things. They don't come into existence, they don't function, they don't change because they're self-enclosed entities. They function and change and exist because they're dependent on causes and conditions and parts and, you know, we were talking just about the mind that conceives and labels things. So thinking that we all by ourselves with no other causes and conditions necessary can make everything go wrong is totally unrealistic because nothing operates like that. Yeah, everything operates in relationship to something else. What I've found very often that I think is very interesting is that we take responsibility for things that are not our responsibility, and we don't take responsibility for things that are our responsibility. And a lot of self-hatred, I think, and self-anger is because we take responsibility for things that actually are not our responsibility. Okay? For example, you may say something to a friend, and inside yourself, your motivation is one of trying to help somebody. You know, maybe your friend is doing something that they're starting down the slippery slope into some kind of problem, and you see that, so you want to warn your friend and make them kind of wake up and see what's happening. So you caution them about something, and you're doing it because you care about your friend. Then your friend misunderstands and gets furious at you, saying to you, "What kind of friend are you? I've always been good to you. Now you're criticizing me. You're not standing by me. You're doing this. You're blaming me. You're blah, 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 blah." Okay, and accusing us of all sorts of stuff, even though we had a motivation of kindness. Okay, so they blame us. Then we think, "Oh, I really bungled it. This is all my fault. The problems we're having in the friendship now is because I just spoke too soon and I said the wrong thing. And so, of course, my friend is upset with me. You know, it's my fault." Okay? So that is a good example of taking responsibility for something that's not our fault. Yeah, because our motivation was one of kindness, our intention was to help our friend. And simply because of what was going on inside of them, simply because of they misunderstood and they got upset, then we blame ourselves because we think we are responsible for their unhappiness. Okay? In that kind of situation, we have no responsibility for their unhappiness. We had no intention to cause it. Yeah? In fact, we didn't cause it. Why is that person unhappy? Because their internal storytelling mechanism got triggered. Yeah. They're clinging on to their honor or their reputation or something. Yeah. So just because they're angry, it doesn't mean that we're bad people. They're angry because they had the seed of anger in them and because they misunderstood and they were very sensitive about something that they didn't need to be sensitive about. So in that situation, there's no reason for us to think, "I am responsible for their happiness." In actual fact, we can't make anybody else happy beyond ourselves. Yeah? Going through life trying to make other people happy, you know, it's a risky business. Because what's going to make somebody else happy from one moment to the next changes. Yeah. I mean, look at us. What makes us happy from one moment to the next changes, doesn't it? So the other people are the same thing. Yeah. And in the same way, really, other people cannot make us happy. We have to make ourselves happy. So we can't make other people happy. So in that situation, we are not responsible for their unhappiness. We are responsible for our own actions. Yeah. In this case, we said something with care, out of concern to try and help. No reason to hate ourselves because they're upset. Now, in other situations, it's really funny. It's not so funny, actually. But we do things deliberately to antagonize other people. And then when they get upset, we deny any responsibility. Okay? Example. family dinners. Okay. Sometimes at your family dinners, do people quarrel? Yeah. Yeah. I assume in my country, people quarrel at family dinners. Yeah, I assume that's universal. You love those people, but you also sometimes get into quite vicious fights at family dinners. Now, you know your family members really well, don't you? And they know you really well. And they know what your buttons are, and you know what their buttons are. And by button, I mean things that people are sensitive about. Okay? So you know that your brother or sister is very sensitive about, for example, their weight. So you say, oh, when you walk in for the family dinner, you say, oh, you look really healthy. It looks like you've been eating well. And it sounds good, but you know that your brother is sensitive about his weight, and you know it's gonna, you know, and he's gonna feel, oh, she's criticizing me because I'm too fat now. Okay. So then your brother gets upset and says, why are you talking to me like that? And you say, all I said was you look healthy. That's all I said. Why are you so sensitive? Okay. So in this situation, we are responsible not for their being upset, but we're responsible for our harsh words. We're responsible for our devious intention to inflict pain on somebody else. But we deny all responsibility for that. And we just tell our brother that he's too sensitive. Okay, you see what I mean? That we take responsibility for what's not our responsibility, like our friend getting upset when we warn them about something. And we don't take responsibility for what is our responsibility, like our crafty little to our brother. Okay? So I think all of this is related to self-hatred. Yeah? How? When we take responsibility for how other people feel, then we blame ourselves for things that we have no control over. When we deny responsibility for things where we really did have quite a nasty intention, then underneath we feel disquietude. We don't feel comfortable with ourselves because we know what was really going on. Yeah. So that produces a certain kind of self-hatred that it's hard for us to really account for because we are not really willing to admit that we did it accidentally, deliberately. Yeah? You know, accidentally, deliberately? That's what happens. You know, that's what you say to your kids, isn't it? You know, when one child antagonizes the other child, and the child who's the antagonizer says, it was an accident. You say, yeah, accidentally, deliberately. So we do the same thing. Yeah, that's why we're childish, sentient beings. Yeah. But we know inside that what we did was not very good. So that kind of feeling of, you know, not really owning up, not being honest to ourselves, with ourselves, that creates a certain kind of self-hatred and guilt. Okay? Guilt is also related to self-hatred. Yeah? How many of you feel guilty? Yeah. I was telling people yesterday that at a retreat I once led, we divided into groups of the Catholics, the Jews, and the Protestants, and then discussed guilt. And then I asked at the end, which group do you think has more guilt? Yeah. Protestants lost. Yeah. Protestants, you know, they all know they're going to hell anyway. So they don't, you know, they don't believe in God properly. So, but no, actually they don't. They think they're the ones who are saved. They're not going to hell. It's the rest of us who are going to hell because we don't believe what they believe. The Catholics? Yeah? Any Catholics? Former Catholics? Yeah? You grew up with a good dose of guilt, didn't you? Yeah? I mean, somebody died for your sake and you didn't even ask him to. That's a good reason to feel guilty, isn't it? Yeah? And you're born with original sin? I mean, you're hopeless before you even start. Okay? So that's Catholic guilt. Jewish guilt tops them all. Right, my Israeli friends? Jewish guilt, yeah. It's in your genes. Yeah. You got it from your mother. You got it from your father. You just feel guilty. Because you're never good enough. Yeah. You're never good enough. You don't make your parents proud enough. Because you don't do what your parents want you to do. Okay? So, you know, different religions have different kind of guilt. Yeah? But when we suffer from a lot of guilt, we get very wrapped up in self-hatred. Yeah, why do I feel guilty? Because I'm such a rotten person. Why am I a rotten person? Well, I made my parents unhappy. I'm not what they wanted me to do. And this guy died for me and I didn't, and he suffered so much. You know, why am I guilty? You know, that's why I'm guilty. I just, yeah. So what's wrong with me? I hate myself. Because I make other people suffer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, this is all, in Buddhism we call it conceptuality. Yeah, conceptuality. Our mind overflowing with conceptions, preconceptions, projections, assumptions, expectations. And because our mind is overflowing with all of that, and we never measure up to what we think we should be, then we feel guilty and we hate ourselves. Wonderful way to spend your life, isn't it? Yeah? And yet, this is what we do. Yeah, we specialize in guilt. And we teach it to our children. And for all those Protestants who don't have enough, we'll teach it to them too. Yeah. And we have, and also, you know what guilt does to us? Is when we do make a mistake, then we think, that the guiltier we feel, the more we are atoning for our mistake. Okay? So you made some kind of mistake. You feel bad about it. Yeah? You have some regret for making that mistake. You don't just leave it at regret. Yeah? You have to suffer because you made a mistake. Only if you suffer are you then undoing the mistake you made. Does our suffering undo the mistake we made? No. Does our suffering eliminate the other person's pain? No. But we somehow feel the more, the guiltier we feel, the more we hate ourselves, the more we tell ourselves how lousy we are, then the more we're making up for our mistake. It's totally illogical, isn't it? 100% pure illogical. Yeah. And yet when we're not aware of that mechanism in our mind, we keep doing it, thinking that somehow that will make up for what we did. And it doesn't. It just makes us feel worse. And when we feel worse, then we actually do more things that inflict pain on ourselves and on other people. Okay? Anything more about this one of self-hatred and being angry at yourself? Yeah.
And so then I want to understand what is the relation between feeling the injustice that is made from others and what is coming from herself.
You mean when we see a situation that we say is unjust? Then, anger comes up when we see injustice.
How she can handle by not having the anger, but meanwhile, to act.
Okay, got it. Okay. One wrong idea we have is that the only way to combat injustice is anger. That anger is the only possible reaction, emotional reaction we can have for injustice. Yeah, that's what we think. It's wrong. That's not true. If we look at somebody like His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, then he can see injustice very well, but he's not angry about it. And he responds instead with compassion. So, If you go to his teachings, you know, there's been devastation in his homeland. He's been a refugee for over 60 years. There's been ecological devastation, you know, a whole lot of problems. Very unjust what the Beijing government is inflicting on the Tibetans. And yet His Holiness is not angry about it. And he tells the Tibetans not to be angry. Yeah. Why? Because anger doesn't do any good. Yeah. And when once asked about that, he said, if I'm angry, how's it going to ameliorate the situation? It just means if I'm angry that I can't eat well, I can't sleep well, Yeah, it doesn't change the situation. It doesn't improve it at all. So he responds to injustice with compassion. And the idea behind that is when there's injustice, we usually say there's a victim and a perpetrator. And so we usually have lots of compassion for the victim and lots of anger at the perpetrator. Yeah? But actually, if we look deeper, why is the perpetrator behaving in that way? It's because they're unhappy. Yeah? Why does any human being or any sentient being do something to harm another sentient being? It's because they're unhappy. If they were happy, they wouldn't do what they're doing. Because nobody wakes up in the morning and says, it's so beautiful out and the sun is shining and I have friends and I feel really good today. I think I'm going to go inflict suffering on someone. Nobody thinks like that, do they? Yeah. Why do people inflict suffering? Because they're unhappy and they're confused. Are unhappy and confused people, should they be objects of anger or should they be objects of compassion? They're objects of compassion, aren't they? Yeah. And especially if we think, if this person, may this person be happy, yeah, may they be free of whatever it is inside them that's making them so confused and unhappy that they think that by treating somebody else unfairly that that will make them happy. May they be free of all of that and have peaceful mind. That would be much more realistic than wishing that person harm. Because if they were happy, it's true, they wouldn't be doing the harmful action that they're doing. Isn't it? Yeah? Okay. Because we all know, when if we flip the situation, yeah, we've all done harmful things to other people. When you've done harmful things, was your motivation because you felt so contented and satisfied and peaceful? No, your motivation was you were unhappy and you were so confused. We're so confused that we think that doing this action will bring us happiness. That's how confused we are. Actually, it brings other people unhappiness. It makes us more unhappy. Yeah. So if we can look at ourselves and have some compassion for when we get into that state, then we can start to look at other people and have compassion for them in similar situations. Does that answer your question okay? Punishment? Yeah.
Do we need to take action for the injustice?
Okay. Action and punishment are two different things. Oh. Huh?
With compassion.
Yeah, I'm going to punish you with compassion. Womp, 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 womp. Yeah. The famous thing, you know, why a parent beats their child. I'm doing this for your own good. Bong, bong, bong to the screaming child. Yeah. Taking action and punishing somebody are two completely different things. Okay. When you were a kid, how well did being punished work for you to get you to change your behavior? Yeah. Some people, not at all. Some people, maybe you were afraid of getting punished again because it hurt. So you changed your behavior. But did you change your behavior out of wisdom because you saw why that behavior is unsuitable? Or did you change your behavior out of fear? And if you didn't have anything to fear, you'd go do it again. Okay? Punishment does not work well as a deterrent. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't take action. We must take action if one person is harming the other person. Yeah. But there's many ways to take action. Sometimes you can divert the other person's attention. The harmer's intention, you divert their attention to something else, and they get confused and they stop harming. Or sometimes you may need to intercede physically to prevent them from harming somebody else, but that doesn't mean you need to kill them. Yeah, in the U.S., now there's been a lot of talk about police brutality. I'm not sure how much you learn about what's happening. Yeah, but you've seen the videos of some of those. Yeah? Okay. You can see in those, then the officers say, but my life was in danger. You can see in those videos that the officer's life wasn't in danger. Even if they felt that it was, there are other ways to stop somebody from harming you without killing them. Yeah. There's many other ways. There's one police department now. I read about this. They're in a town where there's a very high crime rate. So they're really trying something unusual. So one day there was one guy who walked into a store. It was a deli, I think, a restaurant. And he was upset. He was angry. He grabbed a knife. He threatened some people. He walked outside. He's walking down the street waving this butcher knife around. Okay. Now, ordinarily, a cop would have a good excuse for shooting that person. Okay? He's threatening people with a weapon. The cops didn't do that. The guy's walking down the street waving his weapon. They called for reinforcement. So they stayed away from the guy, but they walked around, they surrounded him so that they were all walking down the street together. So there was no way that guy could go and attack somebody else. The police were at a distance from him, but they were all walking with him down the street together and talking to him and saying, you know, drop the knife, just drop it, or give us the knife, whatever. Eventually, the guy dropped the knife. Yeah? Then they were able to arrest him. They did what they needed to do. And nobody was hurt. Yeah. It took more time than shooting somebody. But it was a much better result. Okay? So sometimes people are doing things where they are dangerous to themselves or other people. We may need to imprison them for a while to help them calm down. But the purpose of the imprisonment should not be to punish. It should be to help. Yeah. The big thing that is wrong with most prison systems is that the motivation is to punish, and people don't want to spend money on programs that would actually help the incarcerated people change their ways, get an education, and so on. If we were smart, we would have all these programs that really help them. Yeah. But instead, you know, we have a society that likes to punish. And it really doesn't do much good. Yeah. Did you know in one state in the U.S., in Arkansas, the governor wants to, the news reaches Italy, you know, he wants to kill 8 people within, you know, before the end of the month, execute, you know, 8 people. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Okay. Anything else about self-hatred? Okay. So, let's have what I call digestion meditation now. It means that you think about something that you heard during the session. Yeah? You think about it so that you can remember it later on, and you think about it in terms of your own life so that you can apply what we've talked about in this session to your own life. Okay? So we've talked about a number of different things, from grudge holding to self-hatred to all of the preconceptions we project on other people. Yeah? So examine some of these things. Think about them. This is just a very short meditation to enable you to kind of summarize to yourself what we discussed.